The Wall Street Journal podcast are brought to you by American Express. No matter what you do, from business and finance to a podcast about business and finance, it's easier when you don't go it alone. The powerful backing of American Express. Don't do business without it.
Your Money Briefing. Money and market stories from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to your Money Briefing. This is Charlie Turner in New York. In a moment, we'll talk about why lithium has turned from a hot investment into one of the biggest shorts.
It's a really nascent market. It's very small and really subject to quick changes in sentiment. So that's why we saw kind of exacerbated moves last year, and now we're kind of seeing the flip side of that.
We'll talk with the Wall Street Journal's Amrith Ramkumar in a moment. First, here are some money headlines. You may know that billionaire investor Warren Buffett has largely steered clear of investing in tech companies, instead, as he has said, opting to invest in companies he understands. The one big exception to this is Apple, which makes a product that Buffett understands, the iPhone. The Wall Street Journal says Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway continued to load up on Apple in the second quarter. Berkshire increased its holdings of Apple stock by 12.4 million shares in the quarter, taking its stake to $46.6 billion by the end of June, according to a new securities filing. Berkshire has repeatedly added shares of the iPhone maker, including more than doubling its stake in early 2017. As of March 31st, Berkshire was Apple's second-largest shareholder after Vanguard Group, holding nearly 5% of Apple's stock. The Wall Street Journal's Robin Friedman writes that many homeowners dream of hosting a mortgage-burning party as they approach retirement. But paying off the mortgage isn't always the best strategy. Sometimes it's better to keep that money in the bank for other purposes, such as building retirement savings or paying down higher interest debt. In other cases, paying off a mortgage makes sense, especially when you have ample retirement savings and plan to stay in the home for a while. Your decision depends on the terms of your mortgage, the amount of your savings, and your expected retirement income. Find Robin Friedman's article, When Retirees Should Not Pay Off Their Mortgages, at WSJ.com. Next, lithium, last year's Wall Street darling, is this year's big short bet. This is your Money Briefing from the Wall Street Journal. Welcome back. What a difference a year makes for lithium, the metal used in making batteries that power electric vehicles and smartphones. Lithium was one of the hottest investments of 2017 as prices for the commodity rose, as did shares of the companies that produce lithium. But this year has been a different story. Lithium has become one of 2018's biggest short bets. Joining us with more is Wall Street Journal markets reporter Amrith Ramkumar. Well, Amrith, so much for going long on lithium. First, why did prices for lithium rise sharply in 2017?
The key really was bullish sentiment around electric vehicles. So like you mentioned, lithium is a commodity that's used in the rechargeable batteries that go into smartphones. But people were really looking at the growth for EVs as the catalyst that could really push prices higher and support some of these companies that are producing it. And so people say there was really just a rush into them and that the higher prices led to all this excitement, which then incentivizes more producers, as you can imagine, to start looking for ways to bring on more supply to take advantage. So it's a really nascent market. It's very small and really subject to quick changes in sentiment. So that's why we saw kind of exacerbated moves last year. And now we're kind of seeing the flip side of that with some people trying to take advantage of the rapid swings.
So this expected demand and short supply for lithium, that boosted stocks of lithium producers rather exponentially.
Right. And the key is there are a few large producers that control a lot and already have a lot of production currently available, and they currently have deals with battery companies and the tech and auto companies that use this stuff. But there are also a lot of small companies that are rushing to take advantage of this boom. So it's a challenge for investors to kind of determine which ones are more legit, which ones are able to secure funding. And so that's why I think some people were really caught off guard by what they saw last year and saw it as an opportunity to go short. But the interesting thing this year is that even some of the supposed winners in the lithium market, some of the companies that have gotten investments from Tesla, from SoftBank, these are junior miners that have secured funding for their projects. Even investors have punished those shares. So people are looking at this and are a little confused about what's going on because, as I mentioned before, it is a small market. It's very opaque. It's hard to get even reliable, consistent lithium pricing data, for example. People have talked a lot about how the price in China, for example, for lithium and even cobalt and other battery metal, they've gone down a lot in China, but globally they seem okay. So people are like looking at a lot of these conflicting signals.
stocks basically have fallen this year as traders have made short bets. And by short, we mean betting the price of a stock will fall. Wasn't this really sort of prompted or spurred by a negative review that was delivered by Morgan Stanley?
100%. If you look at the chart, it's pretty striking. In late February, when Morgan Stanley started calling for oversupply and said this was the last year that demand would exceed supply, that's really when a lot of this accelerated. So some of these oversupply worries were out there, like they usually are for a lot of commodities at this stage in their market development. But that was really a catalyst, I think, and a lot of people paid attention to that. And there's been a really big debate going on because Morgan Stanley's thesis is basically that SQM, this giant company in Chile that is the largest producer, will really ramp up supply a lot more quickly than people expect. And some investors don't think that's possible given some of the logistics and infrastructure and challenges even ramping up supply. A lot of this also has to do with turning lithium into battery-grade materials, which are often very specific. And so there are a lot of really complicated factors at play. And so there are all of these different supply and demand projections. So that was Morgan Stanley's, but a lot of other analysts are still kind of bullish. And a lot of this, again, comes back to how quickly electric vehicles will be adopted, which is anyone's guess at this point.
Talk about some of the lithium producers whose stocks have fallen this year, as well as some of the exchange-traded funds that allow investors to bet on lithium.
Sure. The big ETF is the Global X Battery and Lithium Technology ETF. Kind of took off a bit last year. It's one of the main ways investors can get access to this commodity because, again, there are no publicly traded futures contracts as the case for other commodities like oil or copper. So that's a way a lot of investors kind of bet on it. It's down about 20% this year after like rising nearly 60% last year. And the losses among some of the individual stocks kind of divide based on their size. So among some of the largest producers, they're down usually around 25-30% this year. And in some cases for small companies, it's up to 70%. So really, like I said at the top, kind of this sentiment is driving the market as it did on the way up and now on the way down. So people are kind of looking to see what happens next because since the market, like I said, is so nascent and like the smallest signal seemed to set it off, it could quickly reverse or it could continue on this path. It's really interesting.
Yeah, we're talking about shares of companies that have gone short, I guess, like Albemarle and in Australia, Galaxy and Orocobre, you know, companies like that that have really have had short positions. So as you say, it remains to be seen what happens next with this market. I mean, they keep shorting. Are we going to hit a bottom? Are the short bets going to be caught up short?
It really remains to be seen. I mean, you mentioned those three companies. Those are some of the favorite shorts of the market at the moment. And like almost 20% or so of their shares are basically being shorted still. So even after they've come down a lot and investors have reaped gains from their short bets. So it's really unclear. Another thing to keep in mind is that FMC, another U.S. company, is basically spinning off its lithium business and planning to do an IPO in October. So that's another opportunity people say that really will kind of test how investors feel about this market because there is a divide, it seems like, between how investors feel and how, again, corporates feel in terms of companies like Tesla, SoftBank, these like large tech and auto companies see the possibility that there could be supply shortages and they don't want to be caught on the wrong end for something that they need for a vital product.
Wall Street Journal markets reporter Amrith Ramkumar. Thanks a lot, Amrith.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. This is Charlie Turner from The Wall Street Journal.